Daytime Confidential podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Liam and Hope find out what Quinn did on The Bold and the Beautiful. Chad returns to Salem on Days of Our Lives. Explosive fee revelations on General Hospital. And forget Megatron or the Eye of Sauron, because a Godzillion catastrophe is headed for the young and the restless to join Jill Farren-Phelps' Legion of Doom. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Jamie Giddens, welcome.
Hey.
Jillian Bowe, welcome.
What it do?
Mike, welcome.
Holla.
Sarah Babel, welcome.
Howdy.
And Reagan Salura, are you with us?
Yes, right now I am.
Well, we will hope that you stay that way. Biggest story in soap this last week, Helena Cassadine is alive. Let's party.
Woohoo! Woohoo! Can party.
Helena Cassadine is alive. Woohoo! Okay, seriously though.
Stop it.
Chuck Pratt is headed to The Young and the Restless, and I don't think I've been this pissed about a network decision about a soap in a very long time. Jamie, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I am disgusted, disenchanted, discombobulated. I mean, dissed is the perfect way to say it. I mean, I can't come up with another D phrase. This is horrendous. This is, you know, there's no way to spin this. This regime at this show, it's just become the spin cycle, in my opinion. Oh, Jill won't do the things she's done at other shows. She's not going to be allowed to bring on all of her friends. It's not going to be the way it was. It's like I've heard it 1,000 times. And now for whoever made the decision to bring on the most destructive head writer in the history of daytime television to The Young and the Restless, shouldn't be working in this industry. I mean, it's a shame. You wouldn't hire Bernie Madoff to run Wells Fargo. This is the equivalent of that. Shonda Rhimes has been given ABC's Thursday night primetime block because of a decade of success. Chuck Pratt is being given The Young and the Restless for dismantling All My Children.
For having rode Mark Cherry's coattails at Desperate Housewives.
Yeah, he was a consultant. I mean, he helped. When Mark wasn't able to sell Desperate Housewives in its original incarnation, which was considered way too dark, Chuck helped soap it up. He should be able to do something like that with decades of soap experience. He didn't write the freaking what was her name? Terry Hatcher's character, you know, he didn't come up with Mike
Susan.
You know, I mean, this is the things. But because he was there to, say, put this there and this there, he gets to have these big credits on his resume, and we should be grateful. You know, Ron Carlovati, who's the guy at Days? Chris Whitesell and Lorraine
Broderick.
You know, these people don't have executive producer credits, yet they've managed to keep their shows on the air during rampant cancellation rumors. But we're to be so blessed in this genre that Chuck Pratt is going to grace us again with his destructive presence, and he also gets an executive producer title, which I was quickly told, oh, that's more about money than anything else. The spin of it all. I'm like, no, the man has it on his Twitter byline. He is now the executive producer / head writer of The Young and the Restless. The man who Susan Lucci, who never spoke out in 40-odd years for ABC, of course, I think it's a wonderful story that they're going to bring back my unaborted fetus. Yes, it's going to be a great story. You know, she sold it forever, every time. The only time she spoke out was about Chuck Pratt and Brian Franz and the destruction that they wrought during essentially Chuck's season at that show. Yet no one there did any homework and decided to give this man The Young and the Restless. You know, and I'll go on record here because I will say I am biased because I like to put that out there. There was a time when I wasn't doing the podcast because I felt as a journalist, I can't be pursuing work in the industry and covering the industry. I was in loose talks to join the Young and the Restless in some sort of fashion as a consultant. You know, that's not happening, you know, because my Twitter reaction to Chuck Pratt's news pretty much made that a dead in the water situation. And I'm fine with that. But I do have to admit that bias, you know,
you made, well, let's clear that up. Did you make it dead in the water or did they?
I made it dead in the water.
There you go.
I basically did not, you know, eat shit politely and go, no, everyone, this could be good, because it won't be good. This is the most destructive head writer in the history of daytime television. Jillian and I were debating this offline. You know, she feels that Megan McTavish might be a contender to that throne. I don't think so. Yeah, Megan unaborted a baby and killed someone with pancakes, but in my opinion, a lot of her All My Children was still watchable.
And she seemed to understand characters at All My Children.
Whereas, according to Susan Lucci, Chuck Pratt told the cast of All My Children he didn't care about things like character development and the history of their characters. And forget about, you know, because they love to blame, they love to say, oh, the actors are just reacting or the fans are just reacting. I have spoken to just about every power player in this industry over this long weekend, and everyone I've talked to is confused, disgusted, and in a lot of ways just shaking their head like same old, same old.
Well, hell.
Called Dr. Jekyll and Hyde, erratic, a hack, and these are by his peers. This is not by the fans.
You want to go there? Like, Michael Logan, he has been radio silent. Somebody asked him, Spins Vixenella, hey girl, asked him, what do you think about Chuck Pratt? And he went there. He was like, he was just disappointed. He said he was just disappointed. And he was stunned by it. And this is not a good thing. Like, I cannot find one person to think that this is a good thing. Well, one
Richard
person
from Soaps in Depth, who is usually very
Pollyanna,
very glass half full, was like, when your entire community has a collective groan, I'm paraphrasing you, Richard, it's not a good thing, just saying. You know, these are people who will try to find the silver lining in something. No one is finding a silver lining in letting Chuck Pratt loose on The Young and the Restless.
Well, and not only is it terrible for The Young and the Restless, but it reflects badly on the network, considering his track record is as awful as it
is. Well, let Sarah speak to that, because Sarah found the smoking gun, which was that Sally Sussman Marina, one of Bill Bell's proteges, was up for the job. And according to Sarah's sources, Jill Farren Phelps did what she does best, pulled a scandal, went over everybody's head, and got Chuck Pratt's agent to go to Nina Tassler to get him the job.
Sarah?
Yeah, I mean, when I heard that, like, it was one of those things where I'm like, well, that just makes a whole lot of sense, because, frankly, I don't see, look, Angelica McDaniel has been a real champion of the genre. She may not have had 30 years of experience on soaps, because, well, she's like 30, but, you know, she seems to have a real sense of what daytime is about, and it would make sense that to me that someone who doesn't pay a lot of attention to daytime would be like, ooh, someone from Desperate Housewives and Melrose Place and The Lion Game, ooh, that sounds cool. And just, you know, someone who didn't do the due diligence, who is up high enough to just sort of unilaterally make the decision. Now, let's just say, obviously, I don't have anyone's phones tapped. We are not a British tabloid, but, you know, so I can't say exactly what was said, but I was able to verify that Sally Sussman Marina got as far as the meeting process. I mean, it wasn't a real big secret because it was at Television City. It wasn't like it was, you know, at someone's house or something. I have no idea what was said in the meeting. I have no idea if her ideas were good, if her ideas were wackadoo. I don't know any of that. I don't know if Chuck Pratt submitted a 200-page long-term document that everyone got excited about. But I do know that there is an established relationship between Debbie Klein and, you know, CBS, I'm drawing a blank here.
Nina Tassler.
Nina Tassler, which makes, I mean, she's a big agent. Nina's a big executive. Of course their paths would have crossed
mm-hmm.
over the years more than, frankly, a daytime agent would have. And, you know, it's made more sense than anything else I've heard. Like I said, I haven't checked anyone's phone logs, but it made a certain amount of sense. And
right. Nina wouldn't know. Nina, I don't expect that Nina Tassler.
Nina's too busy.
I don't expect that Nina Tassler was watching all my children. Jill
no.
Phelps, though, knows exactly what Chuck Pratt did at All My Children. She knows, but she would rather have him there than have Sally, because Sally is a reminder of what that show is supposed to be. And she's going to make sure that it reflects Bill Bell's vision.
Sally gave us the Abbott. Sally created the Abbott.
And that is intimidating to someone like Jill Farren Phelps, who wants to put her own stamp on that show. And she's going to win.
Stamp has been insidious.
She's going to win. She always does. She always does. I said it when she got this job. She mortally wounds these shows, and then she goes on to greater.
I told y'all, Jill is like a New York, she is like a roach. Like when they drop Adam Bomb, if they drop Adam Bomb on us, they're going to have a sheer CD around Mountain Dew, a roach, and Jill Farren Phelps. And she's just going to come out of the ashes and be like, what show can I mortally wound this time? Like it just, like, this is what Michael Logan said. He goes, well, spins Vixenella, I'm stunned and disappointed, but mostly just really, really sad for Y&R, for us, and the whole soap is. Not one person I found that said this is a positive that Chuck Pratt is coming to The Young and the Restless. I mean, with Megan McTavish, I still have my druthers with that thing. But at least I can pick out some things that she did over the years. She gave us, well, depending on who you talk to, you know, there's debate about that. She did the whole Erica and Dimitri love story. You know, I cannot find anything that Chuck Pratt did, and people started naming stuff he did at GH. I'm like, he had someone over there too. His name was Bob Guza. So as much as people shitted on Guza, Guza did good shit.
And
so,
he wrecked his friendship with Bob Guza and decades-long partnership when he tried to allegedly snatch Tyler Christopher away for his primetime show without letting his long-term collaborator even know he had a show in development in ABC primetime. This is the snake y'all have let back into the Garden of Eden.
Well, and that's another thing, by the way, that bothers me is, like, I want whoever is writing a daytime show to be psyched about writing for daytime. Brad Bell, he loves writing for daytime, whether or not you love his stories.
Well, oh, you could tell Brad is amped writing for that show. You could tell. He's pumped.
Ron, you know he bleeds daytime, whether or not you like his stories. He's not sitting there thinking, God, I really wish I was writing for girls. You know, he's, and I feel like when someone
White
is coming
Tomlin.
To daytime because, you know, their pilot wasn't picked up, that's not the reason. And that also makes me think, God, they're not necessarily there for the long haul. They're there till they sell another pilot.
Right.
You know,
one foot is in the door and the other one is in the primetime realm. You see Gary Tomlin, Whitesell, and Lorraine Broderick, they're in it to win it. They, you know, even though some people aren't liking it and the ratings, blah, 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 but they have been writing days on fire. All the other shows are in it to win it. Y&R, not so. Like, I just don't understand because, you know, I said I was over it on Twitter. I'm like, you know what? I'm over it because they don't seem to care. So why should I care? But it just boggles my mind. This is the fourth. You hear me? This is the fourth writer under Jill's tenure at The Young and the Restless. She hasn't even been there 4 years, but this is her fourth head writer. And if this was anybody else, if I was over at the New York Times and I bombed out, they weren't going to give me another chance. They would tell me, bitch, pack your stuff and go. But Jill, this is the fourth time. Anybody else, they would have been like, okay, you got to go because we've just given you four tries. This is the fourth person and she's still there.
Every time it's the writers that get thrown under the bus. Oh, Josh got in a funk and he got moody and got boring. Oh, you know, that's what I heard with the Josh thing. Oh, you know, and now it's, oh, you know, these two, you know, aren't capable of doing it. What's it going to be next time? Do they really think Chuck Pratt is going to improve on what Gene and Shelley have done? That's
laughable. No, and this is, and here's the thing. If you are an All My Children fan and never watched The Young and the Restless. You know what is going to happen at The Young and the Restless without even watching.
Oh, but no, Luke, it's... because there's checks and balances. There's checks and balances.
But this is a man this is a man who throws actors under the bus, who doesn't care about his characters and thinks that All My Children's 28 to 30 year run was a good run.
Okay, Eden Regal, don't pick up your phone, girl. Don't pick up your phone.
There's so many checks and balances that he won't be allowed. Why should that have to be the first thing you say? Why can't it be, oh my God, Jamie, the stories he's come up with? Because that's what, you know, they're telling the YNR brass that doesn't know his history. He's a great storyteller. No, he's not. Anyone with a wireless internet connection and Google can quickly find out this man is not a good storyteller, especially for daytime. Okay, I loved Melrose Place. It was fun, guilty pleasure TV, but it's not The Young and the Restless. None of even his greatest success stories is not what The Young and the Restless is about. This man is a hack. They know this, and they have brought him in here because they would rather have him in there than any reminder of the Bell legacy. That's what Sally Sussman is. You know, Maria Irina Bell is, you know, losing her mind. We all saw what Highlight Hollywood, who actually broke this. He's a good friend of the Bell, so it doesn't take, you know, the amazing Chris to figure out how he got his scoop. I didn't want Maria Bell back. I really don't. But I certainly would rather have Maria Bell there than Chuck Pratt. I will go on record and say that to anyone. Maria, her first couple years there were okay, and then it devolved into foolishness. Chuck Pratt won't have a devolution into foolishness. It is foolishness on day one with this guy. It is Jamie Lunar screwing somebody on a table. It is CGI tornadoes.
Lord, I do not want to see. I don't want to see Victor. I do not want to see Victoria go into labor. Victor reach into her cat and raise her child up to the sun.
Like a Lion King.
I'm not having that because I will go plumb off and ask for some asses to be fired.
Well, I'm not going to go off because, and I said this before, this podcast is exercising this demon for me. There's too much good stuff in daytime. We survived the murdering of God in Light, As the World Turns, All My Children, One Life to Live, twice. You know, it's too much. Wait, it's too much good stuff in daytime. I'm not going to spend the next year of my life mad about this. I'm not even going to really pay them any mind. I'm going to focus on the rest of the daytime and just take my eyes off of YNR because there's too much good about daytime. And YNR seems hell-bent on destruction and spinning destruction.
And it will not be long before YNR fans start seeing the signs. It will be almost immediate where you start seeing the signs as more and more nails. It's like he goes to Home Depot, buys a nail gun, about 20 boxes of nails, and starts nailing them in the coffin from day one. Now, Mike and Reagan, we haven't heard from you guys yet. Reagan, I know you watched All My Children. What are your thoughts on him going to YNR, even though I know you're not a big YNR watcher?
I just laughed. I mean, it seems all kind of, it just seems ridiculous. My question, is she not friends with Guza anymore?
No, girl, no!
Okay. She threw Guza under the bus at the end of her tenure.
Okay. You know, I wasn't sure, because, I mean, to me, Guza would have seemed like a better choice than this idiot.
Guza's not going to come back there with Jill there.
I'm just saying he would have seemed like the better choice than this idiot. I did not know that they were not friends anymore, so that was my question.
Yeah, he ain't going to come there while that bitch is there. I wish he would, though.
Mike?
I haven't watched any soaps that he was on, but having watched The Young and the Restless for a long time, it has gone through some major changes and upheavals and ups and downs, and I just start to feel where it's a little familiar over the last month, and now I have to get myself ready for another change. I've read things, I've heard things, and I am not – I agree with Jamie. I think that Sally Sussman represents a Young and the Restless is, just does not exist anymore, and that clearly is not the direction that they want to take with it. So,
Jay Bernard said it best on Facebook and in the comments. He said, to YNR fans, you will have my condolences. To YNR actors,
he is another person, Jay Bernard, who you know who was once a blogger with us, and you know still a friend of DC, he's another silver lining looker. this guy always tries to find the silver lining. And when I saw that, because, you know, I'm known for being crazy and erratic and, you know, blah, 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 Jamie's being negative again. But when I see people like Jay Bernard saying stuff like that, like, YNR fans, you have my condolences, I'm like, okay.
YNR, just, you have my sympathies.
You know.
No one has anything good to say about this guy. Remember, he threw, you know, people laugh, and I'm like, Eden, don't answer your phone. Remember when Eden Regal left All My Children?
Yep.
He threw her under the bus and dragged that girl by her roots and said, well, the reason why Bianca's storyline sucked is because she did not give me any notice. She just upped and left. Threw that girl under the entire bus.
And the story wasn't even the one that she had been told she was going to receive.
No, I mean, because Eden was deciding to leave, he had to write a story where a lesbian kissed a dude on her wedding day. I mean, yeah, that you know, and what he really wanted her to do, what he really pitched was Bianca sleeping with Ryan Lavery. And Eden hit the roof and was like, no, I am not going to do that to my fans. You know, why would Bianca, who had been an out lesbian for years, suddenly sleep with a dude? But that's Chuck Pratt for you. That is, he doesn't care about character history and about Bianca's, you know, powerful coming out story. He wants to bastardize the history to his own purposes. He brought back Liza Colby, a sexually frigid, you know, control freak ice queen, as played brilliantly by Marcy Walker. And in her
Turbo first Liza.
Episode, he had her sleeping with a stranger on a table. I mean, this is what this man will do. He will bring back Lunar, as you know, make her Mac Browning, and we'll be
Mickey Newman. Nikki.
We will be seeing Stitch backdoor Mac Browning in Chancellor Park.
No, it won't be Stitch. It will be Dylan.
You know? Oh no, he won't.
Oh, please do not put this stuff out into the universe.
This is just how he is, Mike. This is how this man is. And you know, just when it was not starting to be the Dylan hour, y'all get comfy because it's going to be the Dylan hour. I bet you one person on that set that is happy as a clam or as a pig in shit. He is happy as a pig in shit that Chuck Pratt is there.
Well, so is Tristan Rogers.
And so is his pilot.
Tristan Rogers, I'm like, boy, stop. Like, you just don't even know. I'm like, I already saw what that is. You're trying to curry favor with your boss, but boo-boo.
Well, I ain't mad at him for that, hey.
And I ain't mad at him, but it's not going to work, darling. It's not going to work.
I would feel bad for any actor on the show who is over 35, you know, and like it really makes me mad because Eileen, you know, is coming back to YNR, and I was getting into seeing what her storyline was, and I'm like, ooh, now she's got to deal with this. Well, thank God she's got Days to fall back on.
I know, Chris. I think Melissa Claire.
This might be the best thing that ever happened to Days.
I think Melissa Claire Egan is gonna get some good shit because, you know, this is no shade against her, but he wrote the hell out of Annie Lavery, didn't he?
Yes,
he
did.
He wrote, so she gonna be on there. I bet she probably will be paired up with Dylan.
He wrote her being paired with David Canary, and
well, there you go. She gonna be with this though.
He killed one of David Canary's two iconic characters at a party, where so that he could do a whodunit, and then all
he killed Stewart.
There's all of these, because this is what they do. They do these. He did these storylines, and then started these whisper campaigns happen. Oh well, David Canary can't really work anymore, so that's why we had to do this. He wasn't really able to work. Then you see David Canary doing an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, an improv-based sitcom. It's like, wait a minute, I was basically told, you know, David Canary was on his way to the cuckoo farm. This is what this man does. With the Eden Regal thing, I will never forget Jory Peterson, then vice president of publicity for ABC Daytime, calling me up and trying to smear Eden. This is what he will do. He will do something egregious, and then he will start a smear campaign about the actor to cover his ass. And if that doesn't work, he'll just do an interview on the record slamming the actor and telling people, well, whoever I'm bringing from Models, Inc. is going to shake things up. And they're not going to kiss any ass because they don't have to kiss any ass over there. And that set needs a good shaking up. This is what this guy will do. And it's all out there. You know, if I try to go get a job at the Home Depot, they're going to Google me to see my track record. But nobody at the Tiffany Network and Sony decided to Google this clown
And here's the thing, and I told Jamie this offline, but I said, once Pratt's there, Jill's there, the only person that's missing in this scenario is Brian Frost.
I know!
And it's one of those things where, like, on one hand, I'm like, Angelica better be watching her back. She's going to have more knives in the back of it than a target practice in Game of Thrones.
Jill just went side, over her head to her boss to get this writer. I mean, hello.
Brian Franz is like, I'm going to go take a nice vacation to Tahiti because in about 6 months, I'm going to be taking over CBS Daytime.
I know.
And that's what's going to, I mean, hypothetically going to happen. Because Jill will stab her way through everyone, get her friends installed, and the entire CBS Daytime network is going to be a friend of Jill.
If they ever do Celebrity Survivor, they better put her on there. She will outlist. Richard Hatch ain't seen nothing on Jill Farron Phelps.
I'll tell you what, she needs to go on Celebrity Apprentice because she would win that sucker. And instead of people having funds go to charity, it would be a bloodbath and there would be no money except for her sitting on a pile of it laughing as she's throwing it up in the air like freaking.
As she's giving the new Knots Landing reboot from Sony TV.
No, go ahead, sir.
I'm sitting there thinking, like, what can fans do? And I'm like, this sounds crazy, but I'm like, I think the only way this could be resolved to our satisfaction is if we somehow get Julie Chen pissed about it. Because that's the person who has some leverage.
Yeah. I said on Twitter, you know what? Maybe Chuck Pratt will surprise us. Maybe I'm just trying to look for the silver lining here because people always say, oh, you cut for GH more than you cut for why not? No, I don't. Ron could tell you, I chop them all down.
I don't believe
listen,
it. I don't care.
All you need to do is go up from here. So.
I'm just trying to. Oh, I thought you meant you don't believe that I chop them all down. But I'm just trying to say what you know. Cause look, I don't mean to say I told y'all so, but when it was announced on this podcast that Jill Farron Phelps was coming out, I was like, y'all better be careful. You know, everybody's like, no, Jill, no. I told y'all, I warned y'all. I'm going to go on record here. Maybe somehow Chuck Pratt is going to look at all this and say, I lost the Lion Game. I lost Twisted. Didn't he do Bunheads? I don't know. You killed a lot of
shows. No, that wasn't him.
Well, shit out on a lot of shows, you know.
Jillian. I tried momentarily to say, okay, I'll give him my best, like, I'll give him a chance, and I thought the same thing, maybe it's possible that this time, and then it was like, nope, a leopard cannot change their spots, and a hack cannot
stop
being a hack, and the fact of the matter is, he is one of the biggest
you
hacks.
You can point to, you can bench, the thing of it is, because, you know, of course, yeah, I wanted to try to find a silver lining, too. You can find silver linings about Jill Farron Phelps being named executive producer because even though, yeah, she's killed off a lot of veteran characters, she also produces the hell out of a Sweeps Week Spectacular. She helped GH get 18 to 49 on lock for many, many years. You know,
and she made that show look good when they were going on the budget crunches. Now, that's one thing I'll give
Jill,
up.
Jill,
she ain't having Mickey and Compton changing at no Texaco.
Jill has, you know, there are, you can find a list, you can do, if you have a sheet of paper, you can do a list of Jill Farron Phelps' pros and cons. You cannot find a pro in Chuck Pratt being named head writer of Young and the Restless, except that Y&R is still in production. That's always a pro. I guess we have to remember that in these days.
Well, somebody on Twitter said it. You know, I said I'm trying to find one positive thing and one person about Chuck Pratt being there as a plus. And this person was like, well, I think it's great. And I'm like, you know, I'm not going to be the one like some people screaming at you. I want a healthy dialogue. I'm like, well, why do you think it's going to be good? I'm like, maybe, you know, maybe there's something good. They threw the biggest shade. They was like, because when Chuck Pratt comes there, they are going to make wine on number one. And they're like, Jill ain't never done nothing for GH after she left, but she going to give them a parting. She going to give them a good gift. And that is going at number one. And I laughed. I'm like,
oh,
what?
Give it GH and going to make GH number one. I don't think that I don't think that anything could take Y&R off of number one. You know, LML didn't even do that. I don't think that that's possible. But I do think that it'll
be Chuck there. That would be possible.
You know, I do think another year though worth of, because that's what I was told. Well, you know, well if he sucks, he'll, you know, he'll just be out in a year like everyone. Why does that have to keep being the business model though? You know, why can't they find a writer? And here's the thing, and I'm going to say this on record: there's a lot of good people working there at that show. And they all do, I feel, definitely do want the best for that show. But it's too many goddamn cooks in that kitchen. The network executive needs to do what network executives do. The publicist needs to do publicity. The producers need to produce. And they need to give a writer the autonomy to write a show. But they don't do that. I don't know if William Shakespeare could succeed at Y&R right now. Because everybody comes in that kitchen with a spoon. Oh, it needs more oregano. No, it needs more paprika. No, this it needs more this. That is not a good look. You need a writer who submits a long story Bible that is approved by the network with notes, and then they are allowed to proceed to write the show and get the notes each week. But that's not what – there are too many cooks in that kitchen.
You need a big, greedy cook in that kitchen. And when I say that, I mean you need an EP that is going to be like not – scared to say to someone, you know, who is not a writer when they say, well, I think you, no ma'am, this is what the writer,
if you're not a writer, shut the fuck up and go do what you're supposed to be doing. That is what they need at that show. They need a head writer who is akin to the character of Cook on General Hospital. Remember the joke how Cook wouldn't let the Quartermains in their own kitchen? That is the writer they need. That's what Bill Bell was.
That's why I heard Sally Sussman is that Sally.
And that's why Jill didn't want her. That's why she didn't want her, because her ego couldn't take her. She didn't want Sally. It wasn't about what's best for the show. She'd rather have a hack in there that she can work with.
Yes, a master in there.
You know, it's BS. It's BS, because that was going to intimidate her. She wasn't going to be able to create some rapper Davidsons in General Hospital.
Oh Jesus! Don't you do it?
If she has someone like Sally there saying, no, I know these characters, they
the rapper Davidsons up. Boy, you making me mad now. You making me mad now, because I wanted Jill gone when she brought them rapper Davidsons there. I was
everywhere. Goes, she puts her stinky stamp on it, and Sally is going to say, no, this is how Bill created the characters. She didn't want that. She didn't want that, and she didn't get that. She made damn sure she didn't have to deal with that.
I think the best plus also for Chuck Pratt being there, he's a co-EP. Now, even though they say, oh, it's a money thing, and Chuck Pratt, I bet you Chuck is going to gonna pull a Jill Farren Phelps. He's gonna be all, ooh, you know, it's a collaborative effort, la 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 la. But the moment he sees an opening, he's gonna kick her out of there so he can get control of that show. You watch, you mark this day down. I think him being co-EP, even though she went over Angelica's head, she didn't do her ass no favors, her damn self, because Chuck is going to take over that show. You watch.
Damn. I feel like we're having a therapy session after having, like, I have been sitting here since this news broke. Well, not sitting, but this last weekend as the news broke, and every single day has been more and more dread. And the more I think about what we are in store for in Genoa City, the more it just makes me sick. And I feel like this has been a bit of a therapy.
No one is safe on that show. No one. Well, except for Steve Burton.
Jill.
No, except for Steve Burton and maybe Missy Claire. Not even Big Eric is safe on there, because you saw what he did to David Canary. You saw what he did to David Canary on that damn show. So this would be a good time for all of them to mobilize and be like, if Chuck is like, you know, when he comes in there and he tells them, I don't care what Victor's history is, this is where they all need to mobilize and be like, no, you're not going to come in here and do us. We ain't Susan Lucci. You ain't going to come up in here and tell us what you ain't going to do. They really need to mobilize now. Like, this is just like one of the dumbest decisions ever. I'm still stunned. You had Sally Sussman Moreno. We've been screaming for her to come back, and you turn her down for Chuck Flippin' Pratt. Unreal.
And it's also weird financially, because I would assume, I don't know this, that Sally wasn't going to get an EP
credit. Would be cheaper. She would be cheaper because Chuck just came from primetime. You would think Sally would be, this ain't no shade against you, Sally, so don't come for me. But you would think Sally would be bargain basement. She would be a bargain bin. And Chuck would be like Fifth Avenue. Like, you would really think so, because Chuck just came from flipping prime time. This just goes to show you, they just have money to burn over there. Like, Jesus, this is just one of the stupidest decisions ever.
Oh, it is seriously going down as this year. Like, when we come to the end of the year and we get to put out our top 10 lists, this
gonna be right
is going to be one worst thing of 2014. There is no question. It will be it.
It's kind of funny that Sarah pointed out, as a viewer, what can you do? Ultimately, the ultimate answer is to tune out and not watch.
No, we don't want to
but
say
But we
that,
won't
though.
Do that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That
affects more people when you do that.
Yeah.
That hurts the people that you want to do. So ultimately, it's sort
speak
of like
out,
you
though.
Feel the- helpless at times. That these things, you're investing 5 hours of your time, times four. And it's like, what am I? I just sometimes wonder what I'm,
They need to speak out to the regime.
Chuck on Twitter.
Keep watching, because we don't want to lose any more soaps. But, definitely speak out. Speak out. Tweet the people. Tweet them. Tweet them sanely, though. Don't tweet people bowls of boo-boo, because one day I got tweeted because it goes all around. Someone who doesn't like Ron Carlovati tweeted at Ron and at me a bowl of boo-boo. So, this is why fans get a bad name, fans like that. So, tweets.
And don't involve the actors.
Yeah, tweet sanely your disappointment to Steve, Kent, Angelica. Tweet them, write them, write into the network sanctioned, which although we know Jill throws away fan letters, but
yeah,
still,
sure
you can at least feel like you've done your part, by doing it the right way. Because that's what this was for me. It was going on record. Because I was like, no, I'm not going to be able to Pollyanna my way through this. I stayed off the podcast for months, for several weeks, because I'm, like I said, I'm not going to be on here covering a show when I was trying to get a job at it. And I was. But that's in the past. And, I'm certainly not the first journalist who's tried to get a job at a soap. Whatever. It's over. It's definitely not happening. And now I can come back because, this was the thing. I couldn't sit there and eat shit quietly through
this. You couldn't
this.
Do that with a good conscience.
If they had said LML, I could have said, I really liked Drusilla versus Bootyface. Or what was that girl's name?
Carmen.
I just couldn't think of her name because she's a beautiful woman. But, I liked that. I could come up with something from the LML reign, because in retrospect, it was still watchable. It wasn't Y&R, but I could come up with something if you had said Scott Hamner was coming back, if Josh was coming back. I could have come up with silver linings and positives.
I mean, Nikki and Victor's divorce, shit was
But cold. I can't find a silver lining about Chuck Pratt. I can't. Jillian asked me, well, what did you like that he did Santa Barbara? And I was like, hell, I was a little boy. I don't even back then I don't remember being able to dissect what everyone did, but I was a kid and there was no Soap Opera Weekly yet, so I didn't know who was doing what. But in recent history, in the last 10 to 15 years, I can't think of anything. I mean, yeah, I can think of shows he liked that I liked. I mean, I love
okay, so what about Santa Barbara, Sunset Beach. What did you like about Sunset Beach that he did there?
Oh, it was okay. I mean, it was nothing. It wasn't The Young and the Restless. That's my thing. All of these little shows, even if I enjoyed them in a small way, I like Pacific Palisades. He did that. But it wasn't The Young and the Restless, and it got canceled. I mean,
oh, shit. I was just going to say, oh, shit, Michelle Stafford. But
Michelle Stafford was on.
Over GH, she got saved.
Yeah, I mean, the guy has had successes in primetime. He's written for some of the most popular primetime soaps of the last 20, 30 years. But that's the thing. And I remember this when he got All My Children, because of the fact that I love Melrose Place and stuff like that. I was like, well, maybe this could be a good thing. I mean, he wrote all that Amanda, Allison, that kind of stuff is what soaps I felt were missing at the time. And I was told by an insider, that's the thing. He's good for outlining 22 episodes. Daytime writers have to be good 52 weeks out of a year. And when you burn out in 13 to 22, that ain't cute because you still got half a year to fill, you know, so it'll what it will be.
Let's talk about something that I know you enjoyed. What did you think of Maxie and Nathan this last week and the whole WSB on General Hospital?
Oh, God.
Let's go from the Pratastrophe to the really good, though there were some eyebrow raising things.
Girl, Chuck, get to me when you talk about that.
I loved that the soup kind of summed up all my thoughts about that scene of them kissing.
I guess I didn't see
that. They were on the soup, you know, kissing with the dead bodies in the room. You know, it was great. I love that General Hospital makes the soup often. I mean, it's great for it's great publicity.
Girl, don't you know?
The soup does a better PR job than ABC.
Girl, don't you know it's an aphrodisiac when you see a dead body, girl? You get hot and stuff in the morgue.
Their defense, they did just save each other, so there is a moment there. I'll give them that.
No. If a corpse is below me and you come to kiss, I'm going to tell you, oh, back up, boy. What you doing?
Ryan Pavey could come to kiss me in a field of dead kittens. If we were in a field of dead kittens, I would be pulling my drawers down.
Oh, my God.
You know that he leaned over and said to her, there's more than two stiffs in this room, and she kissed them.
Some of my family members could be gasping their last breath, and I'd be booted over.
No, I don't even care.
Oh my God.
I don't even care.
Everybody wanted Nathan and Maxie to have their first kiss, but I'll take it. I don't care.
Sorry, but no, I ride hard for Idris Elba. And if it was him, I'd have been like, at least let us get the hell up on out of here. Let's just move to the
cliff. If Ryan Pavey told me, this is it, Jamie, this is our only shot. Yeah, I know. You know, your best friend from high school is dying right there. I'd be like, sorry! Then I'd jump up and wrap my legs around him and knock him to the ground.
Ew. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Catch your pearls later, but no. Like, what was the role? Okay, we want to talk about
I will be hosting the Emmy red carpet next year. Do it for the vine. That's what I'd be saying as I was thrusting. Do it for the vine.
Ew, you're so gross, but you wanted to talk about the positives. Like, I ain't gonna lie, I liked when they shot their asses. Well, that was last week. When they shot themselves out to get out of whatever.
Oh, yeah, that was
the door, shooting at the door.
I like a good shootout now. Now, you know I likes me a good shootout. When she was like, let's do this, and none of those bitches were like, oh my God, a nail. I love that. I was like, thank you. And Super Jason, Super Jason is back, y'all.
Lulu was tough too, though. Lulu said, I am my daddy's little girl.
I really liked about it. I thought Maxie and Lulu both, they're Frisco and Felice's daughter, Luke and Laura's daughter. I mean, these two should be daddy. Yes. You know?
They are giving, they are doing what Dallas, we praise Dallas in primetime doing. They are finally making the next generation of Frisco and Felicia and Luke and Laura their legacies offspring. When Lulu picked up that medicine tray and knocked that woman in the face, I said, you better do work, Lulu. You said you are not a damsel and you are not in distress. Maxie Jones took She-Ra's sword of power from He-Man and said, by the power of Grayskull, Levi, I'm finna gut your ass.
Yes!
Knock him in the back. Oh, my God.
My God, I screamed. I was like, do it again, girl. Do it again.
And Luke, I have to give you, I know you were in heaven, and I have to say, I was over her. That was the best return I've seen from Helena. Hello, little Robin. I said, Helena is ready for lunch with Jack and Kennedy, and I'm a Jean Choco.
Then she goes and kisses her son Spunk, and it was like, what the fuck is
that? Well, she always did have a little creepy, sneaky feelings for
Spunk. Yeah, but I thought that she wasn't more upset that he was dead.
Thank you, Reagan.
She knows that somebody...
No. Thank you, Reagan.
Went so hardcore the first time around to bring him back from the dead, and then he's brought back from the dead a second time, and he's dead again.
Wait.
That's okay. Like, she should have been way more upset about it.
She cursed Luke and Laura's wedding for them. She cursed their wedding. When he died over and over again, she was hot. When he died this time, this bitch didn't even say, well, let me give him some icy hot.
I was thinking at first, because it seems so odd that she was talking about Victor and not Stavros.
Well, she knows that this man has been killed 3 times. I mean, maybe she's...
I'm sorry. No.
Still some cryogenic technology out there.
Maybe if they had insinuated that, fine. But, you know, this whole next legacy thing, she has Nicholas. So, I'm sorry. I don't buy it. Helena will always ride hard for her
son. But Nicholas is also... Well, in all of the things in that story, that to me is not some major deal. He's been killed 3 times, whatever.
Mel wasn't able to be with us, she did leave us a note, and she said, RKK could get it and keep it. 2 seconds.
let me talk about that. That's the bad part. Let me tell you about that part. When he came back and was hamming it up, I'm like, people who have hypertension, don't watch this because y'all will stroke out. This man was just ham-tastic. And then Dominic Zampronia decided, you're not going to out-ham me. He was like, and I'm like, damn, y'all are some greedy piggies in this scene. Like, the only person who did not ham it up was Marcy M, whatever you are today, child.
You know why she doesn't ham it up in scenes like that? Because in her mind, this is what she does, mental trick. Yes, this is hammy, but I could be in P-Pack. Yes, this is hammy, could be in P-Pack. Yes, this is hammy, but I could be in P-Pack.
Was hamming it up, RKK hamming it up didn't bother me at all. I mean, that's what the whole thing's about. I mean, he's supposed to be this over-the-top. I came back from the verge of death because I was frozen and my uncle kidnapped the town doctor and she figured it out. I mean, it's all supposed to be over the top.
All I know is Robin's medical school professors need to be on the cover of New England Medical.
Hell yes. Robin and David Hayward have saved the world and they deserve their Nobel Prizes.
And they're related if you go by marriage.
Imagine if Prospect Park wasn't such douchebags, we could have David Hayward on there.
How many clinicals did Robin do when she was training to learn everything about bringing dead people back to
life? Damn, but I loved it. I loved when Jason was playing possum and just leaped up and pop, pop. I was like, oh, Jesus.
I see Mr. Morgan finally lived up to his training in legend. Yeah.
I was like, that was so hot. I was like, oh, my God, that was so hot. He grabbed Robin and was like, he didn't even say nothing. Was like, you know, Robin knew. She knew instinctively. We got to go. I love her.
And now that's, you know, as far out and crazy as GH can be, that's a regime who paid attention to who Jason Morgan is. Even without the actor signed at the time to play him, the stand-in did.
Is wearing a black tee.
He did everything right. I was like, is Faith Roscoe up in there? Because he's
got a good stand-in, except he had a tattoo peeking out, and Jason didn't have a tattoo.
Oh, girl, stop.
They put that stupid, terrible cover-up on people's tattoos for whatever stupid reason, and then they got this dude's tattoo sticking out. Put a little blue makeup on it.
I'm okay with the hair and makeup people.
Because
they have, you know, that tattoo being said, at least they have stopped making Brian Craig shave his sexy fur, and I'm just okay with that. I wish that somebody would
stop greasing his hair.
I wish they would get that memo with Casey Moss on Days of Our Lives, although I get it because he supposedly plays a, you know, post-pubescent first year freshman, and if you look at his Instagram, which I do, he's like he's like furry. It's like, rah, you know. So
you need to sit your ass down in some cold water and
let these young men show their hair. It's nothing wrong with that.
Mike and Sarah, who do you guys think is really Nathan's father?
part of me wonders if it's fluke, because that Olbrek seemed, who would Olbrek think is really terrible? And then part of me thinks, well, who would Olbrek think is really terrible? It could be someone really, like, saintly and nice. And then I couldn't figure out who that would be in TH history.
She said it was a Cassadine, didn't she?
Oh, she never said that.
No.
I thought she said it was a Cassadine.
She said it was
no.
At the end of this latest arc, she said, whoever it really is much worse.
Watch it be Frisco and some shit.
It's your seed.
Jamie,
stop.
The whole storyline is about Spock, Luke. Don't clutch pearls at me.
No, but
you are doing it a little bit much now, child. Like,
you're screaming.
All I need is some of your seed. Okay. Let's talk about Sam and Patrick.
Y'all could keep those two, because I'm sorry, but when we didn't even see his face, and I was just like, we need to have Robin and Jason play out. Kimberly McCullough, you need to sign a damn contract, or I'm going to go on record and say this. Y'all know how to find me, and I know how to send you back if you act foolish. If Kimberly does not sign a contract, it's time to recast her, because she is keeping Matt hostage. And other Robin fans felt the same way, and I didn't even bring it up. You have to play out Robin, Jason, Sam, and Patrick. You have to play that out. We need that played out. Not some drive-by, hey, y'all, I'm back. It's Kimberly. Bye, y'all. I'm going to go direct again. No, we need that played out. So it's just too juicy. And then y'all gonna have my Killer Miller in it. Y'all need to play that out. Kimberly, you sign a contract or chuck up the deuce, girl.
Mike?
Yes?
This last week, Sabrina.
That bitch.
Tried to poison Ava. I really would love, like, Sabrina needs to die to trend on Twitter. But
Jamie,
that's
do you
just...
still like her? Am I the only one that likes her?
No, I like her. I've never been bothered by her.
I like
ever.
Sabrina
she
too.
Does not bother me. I get, that she has to do this, but
I can't wait.
It just really goes. I know that she's angry, obviously, and she wants some sort of justice, but it really goes against her nature to kind of put harm onto somebody. It doesn't make sense that she made that quick of a change, but now,
well,
I don't have the Luke hate for her.
She went cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs right after that baby died, so,
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't think
she would hurt a baby. I don't think the Sabrina we knew would hurt a baby, but I love the actress is playing the heck out of it. I mean, you can see the venom in her eyes. And it's such a great umbrella story, because we all know, little Spencer is running on telling everybody, it's Uncle Luke, which I don't know why he calls his step-great-grandfather Uncle Luke, or step-grandfather.
You know how it is. You're from the South. You know how it is.
I'm going to tell you how it is in the South. Oh. I got a boyfriend, and she don't want the people at the school to know you ho-ish. When that boyfriend takes you to school, you tell the teacher, that's my uncle. that's what you do. That's mama's friend. He's my uncle.
But Patrick hit the nose. Patrick hit the nail on the head when he told Sabrina, it's Victor. And she's all, no, it's not him. It's the chupacabra named Ava. I'm like, okay, girl, keep playing with Ava. Ava tried to snuff out her own brother. So you? Okay. Okay, girl, keep it up.
Here was the thing that was really jarring to me about General Hospital this last week. We went from the amazing stuff, whether it was cheesy or not, of the WSB at the clinic, And then, like, the next, I mean, we had 2 days of that. What was it, 2 or 3 days of that? And then all of a sudden, we're at Michael, Kiki, Morgan, and whatever that nurse is. And it was like, seriously, I have whiplash here. I need to go to a chiropractor. So much good stuff. And then Kiki, Morgan, and them. And it's like, the only thing that salvaged it a little was when Morgan went to Ava and they had those scenes. And it reminded me of how much I love Morgan and Ava. I don't know what happened, but the General Hospital needs to put them.
Brian Craig needs to be back. He needs to be put back up on Brian the A-list. We do not want him on the farm team. He needs to be back up with the big boys and girls. He is amazing. No one wants to see him in some insipid quadrangle with Michael and Kiki and Rosalie from Devious Maids. No, no, no.
I like Rosalie. Stop.
I want her away from Michael and Kiki.
I don't want her with Michael, though. Like, I don't know what she did to somebody on that set, but you apologize.
Why can't they just bring back Serena Baldwin and put her on the opposite side of Michael and Kiki?
That would be great.
And then move Morgan back up into the grown-up story, even though he's the younger brother. That happens in real life. You know, sometimes the older brother is the idiot. You know, I mean, the younger acting one. You know, bring back Serena Baldwin. They could do a whole story where ELQ wants to acquire this company that was part of Dominique Taube's trust to Serena. And, you know, Michael starts trying to cozy up to her to get access to buy.
Well, not
that
only that, I mean, the best play on it would be one of Sonny's offsprings is into one of Scotty's offsprings again. So, you know, Sonny messed around and got his daughter on drugs, and now his offspring is messing around with another one.
Bobby's grandson trying to date Scott's daughter. You know, they've already introduced this enmity or reintroduced it between Bobby and Lucy. So, I mean, those would be great scenes with Lucy saying, I don't want, you know, Bobby Jones's grandson dating Serena and Bobby being, excuse me.
And then they could also do this beat too. The mobster's son is dating the DA's daughter. That would be hot, too.
While all that's going on, Ava and Morgan need to be back together.
Kiki could become a bitch again, because when Kiki first came to this show and she was the little sneaky tramp who was getting Morgan into more and more, you know, online gambling debt, which she has a trust fund, so I never knew why that was a big deal. But, you know, she was interesting then. Now all she is
A nosy cow.
That's not interesting. I want to see, you know, bring back some of her bite, you know, and having a new beautiful young girl in town, you know.
Her being a nosy cow. Like when Silas told her, when he told that girl, you know, whatever you know, that's none of your business. I was like, tell it again. Like, this is none of your business. If Carly didn't have something major hanging over her, Carly would have ate that bitch.
They're writing her like Star, and that would make sense with Star. Star had a reason to be righteously indignant with her messed up parents. But this little girl came to town, you know, messing up Morgan's life and then slept with his brother. You know, she's not a moral compass, so she should not be all in this, you know, conflicted about keeping the truth. I mean, she was lusting for her own. She thought at the time he was her cousin. She has no right to be the moral judge of Carly.
Yes.
Because she thought Franco was her daddy for 5 minutes. That's absurd. It would be like, you know, AJ having some kind of obligation to Rick Weber. It's like, no, they need get her out of the orbit.
I would imagine that being with Michael just dampens your personality anyway.
You know, the only silver lining with that whole that whole Lauren, Carly, Sonny, and Franco thing is once that comes out courtesy of that girl, Carly is going, it's a storyline you've been crowing for Carly to wreck that girl's life, for her not only messing with her life, but messing with her boys. That's what I'm hoping the payday will be, for Carly to be like, you little nosy bitch, you know, I tried my best to be nice to you because my boys were too stupid and had a thing for you, but now that you blew up my world, I'm gonna blow up your world. That's the only thing that I'm waiting for, that I'm hoping that's gonna be the payoff.
Mike?
Yes.
Billy Flynn debuted as Chad DeMira on Days of Our Lives. What'd you think?
Actually, my first impression is that I like him. It's a little bit of a jarring thing because there's such a visual difference between the two, because I get a sense – I just feel like all of a sudden Chad is just a little bit older, but he does really well.
And Blake Barris.
Huh?
He reminds me of Blake Barris.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, my impression is that I like him, and I like the darker side of Chad, and I think that they have to groom him to sort of step into EJ's place when James Scott goes, and I'm looking forward to what he's cooking up with Kate.
Sarah, you were chiming in?
Yeah, I was really impressed, I have to say, because I admit when he first came, you know, when you first saw his scenes, I was like, really? He doesn't quite look like Chad. I mean, the Blake Barris thing is spot on. And then, he held his own in scenes with James Scott. He told Abby about herself in a scene that had me cheering.
Yes, yeah,
when he said, you got
yeah.
off your high horse to sleep with my brother. I applauded in my room watching that. I was just like, I like this guy. I like that he's coming in and cutting off heads and being like a real demure now. And I also buy that the experiences he went through would bring out the dark side of him. I mean, it's like you said, he took a bullet for his brother, and then what did his brother do? From his point of view, turned around and slept with the woman he loved. He has every right to be angry.
I loved him telling Abby off. I was like, tell that little funky hoe off again. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that was great.
Yes,
and I love the way Kate and Sammy were sopping him up with like a biscuit when he came in from the pool. Their eyes were just like, oh, Chad, nice to see you back.
Well, and then Jamie, Will's bitch ass is now wanting to write a story about him, and that's not going to go wrong at all, is it?
Oh God, Will makes me.
He does.
I have been wanting them to bring back journalism on Days of Our Lives for so long, they keep doing it with the wrong characters. You know, Nicole. I was a porn star walker, the journalistic voice of the town. And now Will, I don't know my name, Horton is, basically Dominic Dunn of Salem. And
getting job offers left and right for that one story
Sarah,
that he wrote.
Sarah, how many times has an editor showed up at your dinky apartment to discuss
well,
your
you last
freelance
week, Jamie.
Work?
No, I really like this, the clause in his contract where he got to approve the edits his editor made. I don't even think, people who are senior writers for the New Yorker can get that kind of deal.
No, I'm like, where they do that at? I'm a writer. I'm like, where they do that at? I'm like, my editor don't show up to my place and, I get to do that. I'm like, what is this? Go sit down. Go sit down, boy.
Yeah,
sit down.
That's one thing that I do kind of, my wishful storytelling hat just goes a little crazy because we know that Victor owns a publishing dynasty. I don't know why the thought is to keep Jennifer and Abigail, both journalists, involved in that hospital. I just don't, this is how it was for me at least. My journalism professor said, you sell your soul to the devil when you go to PR. Now, I ended up doing it because PR paid way much more money than journalism at the time. But it's like Jennifer Horton was this investigative journalist. She got her own nationally syndicated talk show that Calliope produced. So you mean to tell me Oprah Winfrey would go from the Oprah Winfrey Show to be in the publicist for Children's Hospital of Chicago?
Cedar Sinai.
I just don't buy it. And I just wish that Victor, would bring back, Bella Magazine and have, do some stuff. I mean, you could bring the same players over there. Jennifer gets hot, what's his name? Eric Martsoff. Brady hires Jennifer to be the new editor of Bella. And then Jen Lilly shows up. Surprise, Jennifer. I'm your new gossip columnist. And then she hires Ann Milbauer. And so Jennifer is still, Jennifer and Abby still have their foals, right there. And, maybe Jennifer could hire Maxine as her secretary. So you get everybody away from that boring hospital set, except for Dr. Harry Chess, Superman. And, you can keep the same dynamics because I like all those dynamics, but they use their hospital more than General Hospital, and it's boring. So everybody's all hanging around John Black's room. You know,
hey y'all want to play some spades while John's here? We can use his chest as a moment.
Nicole is supposed to be the equivalent of Laura, Lara Fraser or some woman, not Lara Fraser, Lara Spencer.
Like, who's Lara Fraser? Who that?
I'm morphing them together, Kevin Fraser and Lara Spencer. But anyway, she's sneaking around that hospital. I hear there's some things going on with the 65-year-old coma patient. Ooh, what can I do to get the scoop? It's like, really? Come on, Days. Now, I've been defending y'all, but pop it up. Let's pep it up. I mean, I know they only have, look, it could be a situation where
Brandon
is like, Jamie, that hospital set is all we have left. We don't have a magazine set, so shut up.
Yeah.
Sarah, what did you think of the developments with John, Kristen, Brady, and that, and the Brady's dumb?
I mean, it's one of those things where I'm just like, you know what? We know John's going to wake up. Let's just get on with it. Like, I was not super into it. Like, I like the twist that Kristen, you know, has Teresa's number right away. I mean, Teresa has no poker face. She should not have been walking around being like, so this drug's not going to work or anything. And if it does work, he's not going to remember if, say, someone other than Brady hit him in the head, hypothetically. I mean, she was terrible about that. But
Teresa can't go up against Kristen. Like, Jen Lilly has been fabulous, but I'm sorry, Days didn't do you no justice, girl, going up against that powerhouse.
Whoop. I like Teresa so much, I wish I could undo her whacking John in the back of the head.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's good for her. They're setting her up as the new Sammy. It's like when now to go back to something Chuck Pratt did and Praise It, but it's like when Sydney, you know, because you have to have that. On Knott's Landing, you had Paige go up against Abby.
There you go.
On Melrose Place, you had to have Sydney try to come for Amanda, and Amanda be like, little girl, let me come for you and let you know I'm going to bop you on the head. So for her to end up being, you know, one day the Sammy or the Kristen, which they're going to need because Kristen has gone to Jabot to get on the stripper pole for Chuck Pratt. Sammy is selling toothpaste all day long, every day. Allison Sweeney said, I'm not going to miss a chick because I'm going to sell y'all some toothpaste. Do you hear me? So with all of those, with their schemers leaving, they do need to go ahead and groom her up. And, you know, Kristen and Sammy came back from some unspeakable acts, so she'll be all right for knocking
down. Oh, yeah, I know.
And they need to make Nicole a schemer again, too.
Oh, she's God.
I'm so tired of Nicole running around behind. I mean, look, Eric is gorgeous, but I would not be asking for his forgiveness.
Oh, my God. Her Shade and Hope had me screaming. Shade, fancy face, but she was like telling Aiden, she was like, Bo calls her fancy face. I don't know why I call her frowny face. And he was just like, that's, she's like an accurate description. I'm like, damn, girl. That was funny.
Watch out, talk.
I agree with you, Jamie. I love Nicole, but I can't stand her going after Eric. It just drives me crazy. I don't see the chemistry. I don't feel the chemistry.
No,
I
do.
I think Eric is a, just a
he's
brat.
Constipated.
The chemistry.
I don't see the chemistry.
They have chemistry, but he has made her boring.
He's more angry at her, though, than he is Kristen, and I just don't buy that. I mean, he's like, you know, Kristen, you drugged and raped me, and I can't be a priest because of you, but I hate you, Nicole, because you drugged and raped me, and you didn't tell me.
I get that. I get why he's mad, because that's someone who you were going to spend your life with, someone who you trusted, who you were there for over and over again.
It's because I'm not a Catholic. I just don't understand.
No, I don't get it. It's not the Catholic thing. That was someone who Eric did, like, when he was younger, he did a lot of stuff for. Like, he busted up her marriage. Well, you know, the marriage, he cheated with her when she was married to Lucas, even though it wasn't a real marriage. You know how them Brady's get? Like, Eric was willing to do whatever for that girl and for her to do all that. I get it. They really do need the chemistry. Well, I think
they
get
just, usually complain about shows not playing out beats. Days plays them out a little too long. It's like, okay, have the moments of righteous indigestion and how could you do this to me, and then get him to a better place. You know, let him, all you have to do, it's Soap 101, I hate you, how could you do this to me? And then one of Sammy's 18 stray children wanders into the street, and then Nicole races out there and knocks their little ass out of the way. And then Eric forgives her. I mean, it's like
they should have Eric with Jennifer to
play. Well, no, I was just going to bring up Jennifer and, you know, Dr. Dan and Eric are punishing Jennifer and Nicole respectively forever. It's like in real, I mean, it's usually the woman who can't forgive, you know, in a relationship and never lets it go. It's like these guys are like, no, you don't mean it. No, Jennifer. No, I'm sorry I didn't take the trash out. And Daniel's turning his head away from her. No, you don't really mean it. You don't love me anymore. It's like, good
I don't get that because men, like, look, I don't mean to shade y'all, but y'all are stupid. All you got to do is show them some titties and some ass, and y'all be like, okay.
Well, that's the thing. I'm like,
or in the case of Jamie, apparently, all it needs is dead bodies.
Only Jamie, that's right.
Dead bodies.
But it's a situation with that show. I'm like, if Jennifer stripped naked in front of Daniel, I suspect he would frown and tell her, put your clothes on and go home, Jennifer! And I'm like, stop! It's like, she's 50! Women in their 40s and 50s do not go through the same kind of changes with a man that you do.
Later, don't do that.
When you're 20, it's like a woman at that age, it's like, okay, dude, you know, this has been real, but I've got my, you know, I inherited my grandma's house, whatever, I've got a 401k. I'm not going to sweat this. I've had two kids, whatever, you know. Jennifer is like, baby, please. She begging like Keith Sweat. Take me back.
Yeah!
Reagan, let's talk a little bit about The Bold and the Beautiful. Liam and Hope found out that Quinn pushed Ivy, or Poison Ivy, as Quinn likes to call her, in the river. And now, Hope is telling Liam that he is her one true love.
I hate that girl.
I know what she's doing. I don't think she's doing what you think, but go ahead, Reagan.
She's so ridiculous because you know she's going to go back to Wyatt. I mean, it's obvious. And she's telling Liam, oh, you're my true... I don't know. I hate that girl. I hate her with like a thousand...
fiery
signs. Yes, I hate her.
You know, but, you know...
Hate her, and I'm sorry... This Ivy, it does not, I mean, I like her enough, but she's not good enough for a viable quad, I guess, for lack of a better word. I need a...
Fair fast, come on now. Fair fast, we'll chop it up.
I need a decent Steffi back. I can't do it.
Farrah would chop it up. She would chop it up.
Farrah's fantastic, but I need just a decent Steffi in that role to come back and just tear shit up. And
I liked when Quinn read that Hope the Riot Act. Because, you know, for a moment, I really did want Quinn to be like, you know what, you wishy-washy bitch. My son is too good for you. 1 minute, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you love Liam. Tuesday, Thursdays, and Saturdays, you love my son. And then on Sundays, you just don't know where the hell you are. I wanted her to read her, and I wanted her to compare her to her mother. To be like, you just like your hoe-ass mama.
Well, Quinn is the idiot in all of this, because she believes that her child can only get one woman in all of Los Angeles, California. So if I was Hope and she read me like that, I'd be like, bitch, you saying all that noise. You talking all that noise. But you want your son to get me, though. Right. You want him to get me so much, you pushing folks in foreign rivers. So I must got something, y'all. Look,
I would just like for Quinn to read her and for her to be like, Wyatt, you'd be a dumbass. You'd be just like your dumbass daddy running after this stupid Logan girl.
She obviously does not think her son is capable of getting on Match.com on his own and finding a woman.
It just makes me mad that they, you know, I just do want Hope to, I just really did want Quinn to have that moment to tell Hope off and to tell Wyatt, you know what, you're too good for her, and for her to even tell Liam, you know what, I don't really like you, but you too good for this dumbass girl too. She keep playing these reindeer games. Y'all are some dumbass Spencers.
Well, Liam played reindeer games with her for so many years that he actually deserves what he's getting. But, yeah, my thing is, even, you know, because I will say the twist that's coming with her being pregnant with, you know, possibly with Wyatt's baby while she's back with Liam, you know, that's finally we're getting some classic old school Belle progression instead of just the normal ping ponging with this. But I must say, my major gripe with B&B is still the same. I need everybody else to get lives of their own. I mean, it's great for Pam and Charlie, who are, you know, essentially side characters, to be involved, but...
Is she going to go back to Liam? Because I'm not reading it that way. I read it as, like, there's a butt coming. Like,
I think she's going to go back out of fear.
She's wanting Liam back, according to the spoilers. She finds out she's pregnant, and it's like, oh, my God. But with this, my thing is, though, they've got to do more for everyone else. I mean, Allie and Oliver and Cousin Koala, who I like, they all have to do, you know,
Eric. What's her name?
Cousin Koala.
I love it.
Rick should dock all of their pay because all they do, you know, she ain't stitched together no beads and no diamonds and no, she ain't made so much. Look, Cassadine's over there done made a sword out of Aztec diamonds, and they paying that Cousin Koala. She ain't so much as got some a little girl's jewelry set out and made some beads. All they do is sit around in that office. I wonder who Hope is going to let penetrate her tonight. I don't know. I'm taking bets. It's like all of them are in there except Maya, because Maya going, look, she's looking at the men's bathroom. Hi, Eric. Ooh, I didn't know you were working with all that. Hey, Rick.
I like crazy Maya. She should have always been that way to begin
Maya
with.
Maya is like, I am tired of everybody getting all this Forrester money. Mm-hmm. I am going to get me a Forrester man to come hook a crook. Maya, they should have her. You know, I wish Brooke had an autobiography on the show in history, because I would love for them to have Maya reading Brooke's autobiography, you know, in scenes, trying to see how she can get a Forrester man, because she is, you know, I love the way that that's one thing that they managed to do with both of those characters. They started Maya and Caroline off as milquetoast, and then they made them crazy, and it's like they are a hoot. But it's like, write them. Write some more fun stuff for them. Stop writing everybody sitting around. And, you know, I just wish someone would even say it in dialogue. That's kind of why I miss a Stephanie Forrester role on the show, because someone should come in the room when they're all, you know, when Carter is, oh, I wonder who Hope's going out with tonight. I need someone to come in there and say, for the love of God, people, we have a couture collection to put out. Can we stop worrying about who's going to pork Hope tonight?
I certainly don't care.
I don't care. I don't like what's happening with Ridge and Caroline.
No.
That's not the direction I wanted it to go in my mind. So watching those two get all googly-eyed with each other,
it's kinky.
It's only good if Katie gets her snap back, because Katie's...
Oh, this gonna get Katie snap back. Katie gonna snap it like better. A snapdragon.
Because it's, you know, we're getting ready for Emmy, you know, for the countdown for Emmy submission, so they better come up with some reason for Heather Tom to start clutching that chest like Fred said.
Heather Tom said in an interview, I don't know who she did it with, but she was like, they were talking about her heart, and she was like, oh my God, I'm tired of Katie clutching her heart. Like, she a little bit tired of Katie, like, having a bum heart.
Unfortunately, they wrote that in, so, I mean, not that it matters, because, you know, Maxie been kidnapped for days, and she ain't took one anti-rejection drug. I'm like, wait a minute, that girl got somebody else's heart in her chest. Where is her, you know, used to on soaps like with Victor. Remember when Victor was, amnesia? Lord, I have to praise Maria. But when Victor had amnesia off in Los Angeles, they played that. It was like, oh shit, he's getting sick because he doesn't have his anti-
rejection. Rejection.
I guess Abby had a little bitty thing in her purse. You know, I mean, not Abby. What am I? Lord, all these little blonde girls are just blurred in my
Maxie.
I'm like, wait a minute, Maxie. Don't you have to take anti-regulation, what should
rejection.
I
rejection.
Rejection. Y'all know I wasn't good in biology class, but I'm like, she's supposed to take a pill every day so that Georgia's heart don't bust out of her chest, and she ain't.
Well, you know, Heather Thomas is gonna wreck shop because when she finds out that Caroline has been, you know, stroking Ridge's pen and all that other stuff, you know, she gonna be like, I had to fight Big Bad Brooke. Shit, and that almost took me out. You little girl, you know she gonna kill it, so they need to just rush that.
I'm having a hard time with this Ridge anyway. I don't like him. I don't care. I'll be honest with you. I don't care. I never liked Ridge anyway. I don't like him even more now. So for when I watch this, to me it's I could care less. It doesn't.
Well, that's because you're watching Zack Slater.
Oh, right.
See, I like him as Ridge. It's a situation where I liked the other Ridge because that's who I grew up with. But Torsten just makes Ridge a man. And, you know, I buy young Ridge worked because, you know, I mean, Ron Moss was so unforgettably beautiful and, you know, it was so alluring. I mean, yes. BMC almost had like a soft porn feel with Brooke and Ridge and Taylor and, you know, in their youth. But as they got older, it just became silly. Like, why is this guy with these scarves when these two women in their 50s still fussing?
Oh, Lord.
Now I feel like Ridge has been revitalized and has...
Me too.
They've bought a decade more shelf life with that character, whereas was still playing Ridge. I'm not going to lie. I would basically be saying, can he just be the patriarch? Can we?
And I would so not want Katie with him. I would be like, hell no.
I don't think, I don't feel any sparks between, I don't feel any chemistry between him and Katie at all.
Are you insane? That chemistry they have? Yeah, chemistry, child. Now they're just a little, they've just slowed it down, but they had chemistry.
I don't think so.
I never bought that he fell in love with Katie. I just don't buy it. I don't buy it.
I had felt they had chemistry before, not throw away Brooke and, I mean, let's just instantly, because of a couple of poems, you know, get together. But I do think that post him falling into that water, I haven't seen much of a spark between them.
Now they don't have a spark.
I want him to sleep with Caroline and for Rick to go crazy and for us to get, for B&B to be like, GH, we're back on the soup. Because you know they used to love Rick and Ridge.
But they have the two people that made them on there aren't there. Scarf Boy and...
They can resurrect it. You know, they can come up with a...
I don't think Torsten would be... No.
This would be... this is what Maya is probably going to find out at some point.
Yeah. I mean, I want... The heat for me is Rick, Ridge, Caroline, and Katie going ape shit over it. But yeah, they can bust up Katie and in my opinion... I would actually mix Katie and Deacon. I would play that, you know, because
want
Deacon.
He said,
See, I have a hard time with the merry-go-round of the family members.
I don't want to let Deacon. I would rather, since Catherine Kelly Lang is going to be over in Italy, you know, Aspen, as Jimmy calls it. I would rather, since Catherine Kelly Lang is going to be over there and Brooke's going to be off screen, I would like to see Bill get closer with her so we could have a little bit of a dog fight again. But no, Deacon, get your life.
I want Deacon to be
get
like,
your life.
I'm going to help you with that bad heart of yours. I'm going to get it back in rhythm.
Oh, Jillian, did a new cast?
Sex. I mean, if you want chemistry, he just walks into a room and...
Who?
Deacon.
Ugh, no, sir.
With who?
Jillian.
With Brooke.
With anybody. He just walks into a room. He's just like walking sex on a stick.
Yeah, I think he and Katie could be hot because it would be fire and ice. you know, she's such a frigid little miss, and he's just, you know, this dirty bird, trailer trash guy, and, you know, I think he could, you know, and she came from the valley, too, and he could call her on that, you know, and I think that would be hot.
Jillian,
Jamie,
you had a chance to go to the premiere of, the season premiere of The View?
Yes.
What did you think of Rosie and Whoopi and
Nicole? Yeah, look at you.
Nicole, I was gonna say Nicolette, but it's Nicole.
Yeah, Nicolette.
ABC said not no, but hell no, she's so happy.
I mean, the set design really threw me because you know they're out of the gross studio that they were in before. Rosie said it. She was like, they had roaches inside the dressing rooms. I'm like, oh my god, you had heads of stains coming there. What were y'all thinking? The sets are nice and everything. I think, number one, you're going to have a power clash between Whoopi and Rosie. They're playing nice now, but I started to see little things. Not a power clash, but you could see it's going to be a struggle because they're both headstrong. And, you know, Rosie used to be the moderator, and Rosie still tries to act like she's driving the bus. And Whoopi is like, bitch, I got my own bus. You ain't driving nothing. I think the one who to watch out for is going to be Rosie Perez. She's a little bit of a spitfire because they were talking about Sarah Palin, and she was like, didn't you want to punch it in the face? I'm like, girl, what? I'm like, everybody dances around saying that, but that chick actually came out and said it. Nicole Wallace, she needs to amp it up a little. It's like she's a little... It's like she gives me this vibe, like, you know, when you invite someone over to your house and they're just so polite and they don't want to do anything and they're just so polite. They're just watching everybody interact and they don't want to, like, impose and step on your toes. She's giving off that vibe. And it's like, girl, you better go on, sink or swim, ho. You better go on, get it. You know. It's cool. Like, you know, I went with Walker. Shout out to Walker. He took me there for my birthday and everything as a little birthday treat and whatnot. We just called The View the shade because they just kept shading, child. Like, they were talking about giveaways. Like,
what did you get?
Well, I'm going to get there. During the commercial break, they were having a seg, you know, Rosie was, you know, working the audience and so forth. And she was like, you could access anything. So they asked about giveaways. And Rosie was like, yeah, we used to have giveaways. And Whoopi was like, yeah, we used to have giveaways like crazy. But they stopped that because someone just used to get a little crazy with giveaways. And Rosie goes, yeah, you know, having people give you shit for your wedding and stuff, donations for your wedding, what's up with that? I'm like, damn, y'all shading star, she ain't been here for a minute. I'm like, she just can't live. Like, they were just shading left, right, and center. What did I get? They gave me a cell phone. I'm going to wait for it in the mail. It ain't no real cell phone, y'all. It's on some prepaid network because I got all excited because I told Walker, so I went to The View before when it was Elizabeth and Sherry there. I was like, the last time I went to The View, they gave us cookies, juice, and Arianna Huffington's book, and I can't give that book. I couldn't give that book away to nobody. I tried to take it to Barnes and Noble for a store credit. They were like, "Get out my face!" So I'm like, "I hope we get something good." And we got a prepaid like smartphone. It's by Hawaiian. I'm like, "Who is Hawaiian? I can't use that on Verizon Network." They're like, "One ass out of here." But you know. It's going to be interesting. The View is going to be interesting. I certainly think that Rosie's little stance on not having celebrities there, she going to have to bend on that because that ain't going to happen. I mean, it's going to be boring if you don't have celebrities there.
Watching The View, I mean, and that's why I wanted to ask you since you were there, but watching it, like, my impressions were that the set came across, at least for me on my television, as very sterile. And you could see that I had read beforehand that they hadn't had a lot of practice time together.
No, like literally they told us, they said, right before we let you guys in, we were still doing finishing touches on the set. We were still nailing shit up. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, you know, me and Walker was like, if something drop on us, I'm like, it gonna be Walker and Jillian featuring The View. If something drop on me up in this studio, I'm like, what y'all mean? Y'all just hung shit up. Yeah, like, they were just, it was just like.
Well, and I mean, but I was also referring to the dynamic between the hosts, because
they're all
picking
themselves out. It's like you're at someone's house.
Yeah.
You're at someone's house. You don't want to be, you know, you want to say stuff, but you are like, I'm at your house. I don't want to be a bitch in your house and you tell me get out. You know, you're at someone's house and you just don't, you want to say something, but you don't want to come off rude. You want to wait until you guys, you get to know each other better before you say something. That's how it seems to be. And Rosie and Whoopi gonna bump heads. I already felt that. I smell it. I see it. They gonna butt heads.
You also mentioned the shade. I kept chuckling at the fact that they were playing Taylor Swift Shake It Off like all the time on the, I don't know if that was in the studio, but it was on television. It was like Shaking Off Joy Behar and Elizabeth.
I didn't
and,
get that vibe. They didn't play that there for
oh, see, like every time they went to like commercials and did out, it was always her like Shake It Off. No. It was like, boy, the shade of that. Jamie, what were your thoughts on it?
I don't really care about The View anymore.
Oh shit! The shade.
I mean, okay. I don't. You know, nothing's really changed from the last time you asked me about it. I just think they should cancel it.
Well, they have good ratings.
The interactions or anything.
Yeah, I mean, they had 3.9, but you know, that was just the people who want to, you know, slow down to watch the car wreck. I mean, it angers me that they are giving this show this many chances to get it back together when they canceled two soap operas. Just,
well, I guess they could say it's cheaper. It's cheaper to do that with this.
I sincerely doubt at that. I mean, that's the common thing that they love to holler, but
Mike or Reagan, did either of you watch it? And if so, what'd you think?
I didn't watch it.
I don't do The View.
Yeah, I could care less what Whoopi Goldberg
Rosie
O'Donnell
it,
has to say.
Well, this has been a supersized episode of Daytime Confidential.
Won't you hire Pratt, Matt? I mean,
as we wrap this up, I would just say to YNR fans, buckle up, buy home insurance, auto insurance, life insurance. And
why ain't gotta buy life insurance? We ain't gonna kill them literally.
Be prepared for a creative natural disaster.
He's gonna kill their brain cells. That's what he's trying to say. Chuck gonna kill our brain cells with the stupidity that's coming across there, and he gonna blame it on all of us. Well, I tried to do a storyline, but you guys just didn't get it. So,
hackery, hackery, hackery. Until next time, so long.
I don't want to see Victor reaching through Victoria's cat and raising a baby up to the sky. Don't you do it.